Well, we come this evening to think about the bread, indeed, that fortifies, the daily bread that we are instructed to ask of the Lord in the fourth petition. Before we do that, let's pray. O Lord, our God, Lord, how very great you are. Lord, how your word instructs, indeed, sings of your creation. Lord, and it was very good. Father, how every moment, Lord, that we have in this your world, Lord, we owe to you. Lord, you sustain us and you keep us. Father, we pray as we spend these moments thinking through your word, Lord, that you would help us to meditate, Lord, on that daily bread we need. Lord, that daily bread that points us, Lord, to you, the Creator, to the Lord Jesus, the great Redeemer, and indeed the Holy Spirit, Lord, who instructs us to trust in you. Do your work amongst us here now this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I thought this evening, as we close out these two harvest services, I thought we would return to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, found there in Matthew 6 and verse 11. It has a abiding harvest relevance, I think. At a time when food and crops and farming and thoughts of our daily provision and are the Lord's keeping of us occupy our thoughts, I thought it would be right to think broadly about what Jesus instructs us to pray in relation to our physical needs, what Jesus has taught us all in that Lord's Prayer to pray. We know it so well, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. But I want to think here this evening about the meaning of that word bread. Think about perhaps who we pray it for, the day that we're to pray it for, and indeed the giver of that bread. Let's think a little bit about bread and how we understand it in the Lord's Prayer. I mean, we pray it regularly, daily, instructed to teach it to our children. But I wonder if we ever thought about what that word bread actually refers to. How do we understand it? The Church of Rome of old thought that this prayer for bread must have meant spiritual bread. After all, who calls himself the bread of life? The Lord Jesus. So clearly for them it was to be an instruction to pray about the Mass, for it's there they receive Christ, quite literally his body and his blood, the holy bread. And still today you'll see those in the Church of Rome wanting to take the Mass daily. For us, and of course that's what we're instructed to pray. Jesus instructed us to pray this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. They understand it spiritually. Therefore, I must take the Mass daily. Yet, in their rush to spiritualize the bread, they miss the obvious. You and I perhaps may have never heard of that before because we have been brought up in that Reformed, in the Presbyterian, perhaps circles, where we've been instructed clearly. It's an asking for the physical provision, the meat and two veg, if you would. The Lord caring for our simple needs. It is, as Psalm 104 tells us, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. It is food. So, physical needs are... What physical needs get wrapped up in the word bread? Whenever we ask of the Lord, give us this day our daily bread, what are the physical needs that are wrapped up in that? Is it just bread that we're asking for? Bread in Jesus' time was simple. It was flour, water, yeast, a tiny little bit of honey or sugar. The dough would have been divided into small balls and allowed to rise and then out of the oven and flattened into small loaves. And the loaves would have only needed a few minutes to bake. We're getting hungry thinking what all this baking. It was a staple of ancient Middle Eastern diet. It was a staple of their diet. Bread would have been what they were used to day in, day out. But I think we've good reason to suspect that Jesus just doesn't mean actual just that kind of bread. Otherwise, we perhaps might have to start going looking for a celiac-friendly version of the Lord's Prayer. If one's allergic to gluten, you don't really want to be asking the Lord for that kind of bread. No. When I say it, and when you say it, and as we understand it, Jesus' word for bread here, translated in the Greek, is arton. But the actual Hebrew word would have been lachem. And lachem, that Hebrew word for bread, is synonymous throughout the scriptures with food. And it can be translated either. And we see it used in lachem, we see it in the Old Testament, used in both senses. Mostly, yes, bread, but other parts, 80 or so examples are there, thereabouts. We see it in used as food. And I actually think that as we ask the Lord for our daily food, we understand it, yet even wider still, we understand it correctly whenever we think of God's food, his provision for us, his provision. We wake up in the morning and we need to eat. But we also have other needs in the day, don't we? We need a roof over our heads. We need work to earn these things. We have need of health to enjoy and to travel through life. The Bible tells us that we are creatures of the dust. Psalm 104, as we read that earlier. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust, their dust. The Lord knows your weakness. The Lord knows my weakness. And without food, without our daily bread, without our provisions, we rapidly fade away back to the dust from whence we came. Thus, to ask for our bread is to ask for God's provision for all that we need to keep us going in this earthly life. All that we need to keep us going in this earthly life. The Heidelberg Catechism, which, believe it or not, Campbell, you took us through this Lord's Day way back in May time when we thought about the fourth petition there, puts it as all things necessary for the body. Bread here in the fourth petition is understood as asking for all our daily physical and timely needs. When you and I, when we go to sleep this evening, before we go to sleep, we ask in the Lord's Prayer for, give us this day our daily bread. When we rise in the morning, perhaps we pray it as well. And we ask the Lord to provide for all our essentials, for our food, for our clothes, for our shelter, even your health. It's all encompassed in that. All you need for your continued life in the fear of the Lord. As wide and as extensive as the Lord's keeping of you, so wide and broad is the application of bread, food, provision. I'm sure you have prayed perhaps for healing, or given thanks maybe for your health. All this is under the bread or the provision that the Lord Jesus instructs us to pray in his prayer. I trust we are not a people who rush perhaps to the doctors without so much as a glance to heaven. Yet the Lord, of course, we know, does he not provide and care for his children through medicine, through those who are skilled in its application? We must give thanks and must ask of the Lord for our daily bread. Maybe you've prayed about work, about your job. This is not outside your Heavenly Father's gaze and indeed his interest to provide. Or school. We thank the Lord for the provision therein, to learn, to be instructed. You may not feel like that on a Monday morning when the week is ahead of you. And yet, and teachers as well probably. And yet, there we have God's gracious provision. Or maybe this harvest time. We give thanks for the blessing of food, don't we? To the Father, the one who creates us. To the Son, for his sake we receive. And we'll think about that a little bit later. For the Holy Spirit who points us continually to trust in the Lord. Our daily bread. Bread. So wide and broad is the Lord's keeping of us. So wide and broad is our prayer in asking for bread. And yet we don't just pray this prayer as individuals, do we? As a personal prayer. Did you notice something about it? I'm sure you have over the many years that you've prayed it. Give us this day our daily bread. When you pray, the plural there, give us this day our daily bread, you are praying for your family. You're praying for your wife, your husband, for that they would have perhaps provision for the lives, for the life met, or for your elderly father, your mother, that they would know even in suffering that contentment and joy in life, or that your sons or your daughters would have food on their table by God's blessing through our honest work. Our entire family should be on our minds with this prayer. Not just our earthly family, of course, but we remember our families and other families that are distant to us, those in need of prayer, of provision. Think of the land of Indonesia, and these awful earthquakes and tsunamis. I think there even just recently, a few days ago, there was another one off Bali. In Indonesia, well, of course, in that island, there was whole villages razed to the ground. How there is a need to pray for families to know God's provision, who need their daily bread. As God works through governments, aid agencies, and international relief sets, and I think there was over 10,000 volunteers there working to help people in this tragedy, provide for their daily bread. For them, of course, harvest time is far from happy or joyful. But the hour, the us, I think it's especially needed for the church family, the household of God. Each one of us have that special union in Christ, and each one of us hold the other dear in our hearts. And we remember before God, asking that God would shine his face upon our homes, upon the homes of our Christian neighbors, in our church family. And that as we go about our honest lives and daily tasks this harvest time, that we may shine forth the likeness of Christ. There that we're demonstrating that we're a kept people, kept by the hand of God. Earlier this week, I was in the Moyle Primary. For my monthly assembly, I go in each, I think it's the second Wednesday of each month at 9 o'clock or so, for about half an hour or so with the children. And I figured this past assembly, I thought, well, I'll talk to the kids about harvest. We've got harvest happening, of course, in the church here in Craigie Hill, and I thought I'd share a little bit about it with them. And I thought, well, I'll get them to put up their hands. We'll see if they know what harvest is all about. So I'd asked if they knew what harvest celebration was. And a few, of course, did put up their hands and knew that it was in church and was something that we did. But you would be surprised how many looked at me with complete blank faces whenever I was talking about harvest celebrations. I had to explain it. Could you imagine having to explain harvest 30 years ago, 40 years ago, or whatever, to primary school age children? They would have seen it in church. They would have instantly known it was a time to thank the Lord for all his good gifts. Now, I'd take it granted there's probably a little bit of a town-country divide. There's maybe only, I checked to see who lived on the farm, and again, there was only a few hands that went up in the Moyle primary. It's fair enough. But I suspect there is probably something more here. I suspect that the seemingly quaint custom of harvest services will probably only seem more and more remote in a society, in this society that we live in. As folk don't come along to church, as we're disconnected from that, it will seem even more and more strange. So how much more needed is for us, remember the point that we're in, about testifying, about shining forth the likeness of Christ, how much more needed is it for you and I, as Christian people, to a generation disconnected from the Lord, that we would ask for our daily bread and acknowledge the Father's provision in that to us, to shine that forth, to say why we give thanks, to point to the Son who redeems us, and indeed the Spirit who points to Christ. The broad application of bread, the broad application what about the day? The day. Jesus instructs us regarding the timing of the provision. We are to ask for tomorrow's bread? No, for this day's provision, this day's bread. Jesus deliberately instructs to pray for our daily bread. Any Jew hearing that as the Lord taught it in the Sermon on the Mount, we have thought over two Sundays on the Lord's Prayer. See how even in an evening there's yet even more on one line of it. But we have thought, and it was to the Jews he was instructing in the Sermon on the Mount, but they would have thought, whenever they heard daily bread, what would they have thought of? Well, they would have thought, of course, of the daily bread of the presence, the daily bread of the presence, the showbread that would have been put before the face of the Lord in the holy of the temple. Of course, the priest went in, didn't they, and laid two stacks of six loaves for each of the tribes. And every Sabbath, of course, they were renewed. The old bread, those 12 loaves, ate by the priests. Or, of course, King David and his men once, we remember that story. A new bread baked. It was to be an offering to the Lord that confessed the Lord's keeping of them. And there's more, of course. What other foods in the temple? In the Holy of Holies? There, of course, what was found in the Holy of Holies? There put under covering. But the miracle manna bread. The Lord had rained down on the children of Israel in the desert. Certainly in the Holy of Holies, there was the mercy seat, the place of atonement. There was paraphernalia for the prayers and the incense, all that needed for worship. But in there was the bread of heaven, and it had its place. The Jews were to be reminded the Lord did not just provide for their spiritual worth, he provided for their daily needs and essential needs. And we, in Christ's prayer, as we're instructed, his Lord's prayer, we have a need, do we not, of daily, normal bread received from the Lord's hands, and we're to ask for it. We're restless creatures. We're like squirrels in autumn, storing up treasures for the future. And you know what? Frequently we need to be reminded of the present. Think about the parable of the rich man in Luke 12. He built, of course, bigger and bigger barns, didn't he, to store his crops. And Jesus was using it to point to the foolishness of easy and lazy thinking about that today's bread will keep for many years. The rich man found it, that his life was demanded of him that day, and he had no preparation for that great and awful day. Even as mentioned, we mentioned with the showbread, that the miraculous bread of heaven in the Holy of Holies. Remember the Israelites in the desert under Moses. Each day they received their manna. And it was to do them how many days? One day. Except, of course, in the case of the Sabbath, when they were to collect a double portion, that they did not need to work on a day of rest. This day in the fourth petition keeps our gaze on the day that the Lord has made for us, that his harvest provision would be for our day, for today. When you pray, and I pray this day, we say, God, never ever mind about the rest of days. This day I depend on you. I walk this day with my family in faith. And even with our bank accounts and pensions and future provisions, we say, God, I need your blessing and your provision. All this is by your hand. And then surely we can say, as with Job, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what we meet, this day should calm your fear, should calm your anxiety about the future. You put it in the Lord's hands, and you trust that his manna is sufficient enough for this day, and then for all the days he has for us under his fatherly care. We do not forget, I know, about the future when we pray this day. I mean, surely in Scripture we see Joseph warning Pharaoh, making sure Egypt was prepared for the 7 years of a famine after the 7 years of plenty. It's wise, don't get me wrong, it is wise to prepare for the future, to have that duly licensed, set aside. But you know, undue anxiety and a running away from God's testimony to us, to trust in him daily, that, you know, that's far from where the Christian should be. And the Christian who prays this day, give us our daily bread. Finally, with what time we've left us, I want to lift your eyes and my eyes to the giver of all daily bread. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, what is your attitude? What is my attitude to be in the saying, give? Maybe, well, when we were children, we had give on our lips a lot, maybe. Give me this toy. Give me that sweet. Or Phoebe loves to say, where is my lunch? Where is my lunch? Now, if our parents were wise, we were quickly taught to ask gently and to say please and to know that our parents love us and they want to do and do indeed do want to give all good things that are for our good. But you know, an entitled attitude or an angry give me is not becoming. We are not to come to a heavenly Father and say, give me that entitlement, that angry attitude. We do not demand, we do not bang our fists in the table and say, give me my share. Who said that in Scripture? Of course, but the prodigal son, didn't he? To his father, give me my share. We say, give us this day our daily bread. Give it to us by your pleasure. Give it to us, as we sung, as the choir sung for us, out of grace. Grace, give it for Christ's sake. We say, when we say, give us this day, we say, Jesus Christ has done a great work in his incarnate coming, in his perfect living, in his atoning death, in his glorious resurrection. Jesus has done it all. He has borne the curse of death for our sake. And by his blood shed, he has purchased for his children all these things. We say, give us, for the sake of Christ, our Redeemer. The tables of pagans have food set on them. And God, in his mercy, does extend to them provision. their bowl of cornflakes in the morning is the same as your bowl of cornflakes. Well, outwardly anyway. Their loaf that they've purchased. The same as your loaf. It looks the same, yes. But you know, that bread on your table, on the believer's table, it has a special mark on it. We pray, give us this day for the sake of Christ. We know God's redeeming love. Every good gift is from above, and to the believer comes through Christ Jesus. Our daily bread might look like a non-believer's daily bread. The harvest might appear similar. But children of God know the giver of the gift. They know his redeeming smile. The Christian man or woman, Christian boy or girl, can surely say, we have tasted and seen that God indeed is good. And we know that through Christ and his finished work. And that the food on our table, the work that we have, the shelter overhead, every provision that we have, is God's gift to us. And it's asked for grace for the sake of Christ. The non-believer's food is there by mercy. And they might think of it as their own. They might think it might be justly earned. But I tell you, it doesn't taste like our bread. It doesn't taste as sweet. It doesn't have that enjoyment that you and I know in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. There's how you ask, give us, and recognize God's special provision to his children. It's how we're to regard one another. The poor man who has simple food and simple shelter, and yet knows the redemption of Christ, you know, is to be regarded as far wealthier than any rich man with finest clothes, finest food, and a big home, but empty of Christ. This harvest time, are you rich in an earthly sense, perhaps? But you're wicked in the sight of the Lord. Well, therefore, you're then regarded as poor in our sight. The youngest saved member of our congregation, without so much as a bank account, is richer than you. We pray that you be brought to the place where, by the Spirit, you rightly pray, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, that we would have a right perspective on material goods. And that is only given through the blood of the Lamb shed, confession of sin, and trust in him. How good it is that we come in harvest time and we're reminded of our daily needs. We're in a church that's richly decorated, beautifully decorated. There's food around. There'll be food afterwards. Sometimes temptation whispers to us, this is all here by our own hand. Well, surely in honest work and godly living, God has blessed us with provision in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And though food around us, though beautiful provision, we confess it's God who sets the table. And from the overflow of his grace, for the sake of his Son, the Lord Jesus, he pours it into our lives. And may the Spirit yet sanctify our hearts further to humble trust in God for all our daily bread. Amen. And thank the Lord for his word in the fourth petition to us. Choir, you're going to sing appropriately.